Hey everybody, this is Bear Tycoon here with our main man, Montana Parlay. What's up, Montana?
Oh, not much. Just getting ready. Did a little testing last night, to be honest with you.
All right, well, and we are here to discuss the Montana Mint 2018 Brewery Bracket. It went live on our website Monday. We're actually recording this on Sunday, so the bracket will be live on Monday. Voting will take place throughout the week. Let's take a step back, kind of explain what this contest is. We have gone through and picked the top 60 breweries in the state, put them in a March Madness bracket, and are allowing you, the fans, to vote for the best brewery in Montana. The first round, after this first round, we'll whittle it down to the Sweet 16. Then we'll have a Final Four. Voting all week this week. Start Monday through Sunday. Follow up the next week, a whole week of voting, and then a week after that, the champion will be crowned on April 2nd. Three ways you can vote. Visit themontana-mint.com to vote online. You'll be able to vote on Facebook, and you'll be able to vote on Twitter. So for each round, you'll have up to three votes. Okay, Montana Parlay. Before we get digging down into the specific breweries, how are you grading them? And when you're voting, what is it in a brewery that you are looking for?
That's a great question. I mean, I have had a few beers in Montana, but I don't even think that I've been to all 74 breweries that we were able to write down that are currently open. And we might even be off by a few. So it's tough. I mean, I'm going on a lot of it's just emotion, you know, what struck me as a great experience. I don't know if it was ambiance. Was there one beer that stood out? And that's going to be what's hard for me is there's some beers in Montana that I love, but maybe that brewery stinks because you go to the location, it's damp, it's dark, it stinks. There's no good food. There is no food. There's no other beers. Maybe.
Yep.
Their other beers make you sick. I mean, it's going to be a very hard contest, especially as we get deeper into the bracket.
I'm with you. I like a lot of the beers that I've had on here. I've certainly not had all of them. What I'm looking for is, for the breweries I've been to, was it a good time generally? Like, was it fun to hang out in? Do they have good food? Is it a good vibe? And then an important concern, of course, is the beer good? It would be nice to be able to try all 74 beers from these breweries, but it's not possible. So how we did the rankings was we looked at... So first off, let me just say this. There's no definitive list of breweries that exist in the state. Jasper Moonshot from our staff went through and like tried to get as many as he could find online. So we had an initial list. He found a few others. We added a couple, and then we posted it to our Facebook page. And folks weighed in, and we found a whole bunch that we had missed. So one part of this bracket is we will put out kind of the definitive list with links to the websites for all these breweries. But how we came up with the seedings for them is, first off, every town got an auto bid. So if you're Superior, Montana, you have one brewery, that brewery makes the tournament. We thought that was more fair to get a diverse group of cities represented in here than to have like all nine Missoula breweries on, despite the fact that some of them are pretty good. And then we looked at their online presence to determine the ranking. So number of Facebook fans, number of Twitter followers, kind of this general buzz online. And we came up with a system to rank them 1 through 60. And then from there, we kind of had to rejigger it a bit so the brackets worked out. So a Bozeman brewery wasn't facing a Bozeman brewery in round one. So with that being said, our number one seeds for this are the Montana Brewing Company in Billings, Lewis and Clark Brewing in Helena, Great Northern out of Whitefish, and Big Sky Brewing in Missoula. Out of those...
Solid group of number one.
Yeah, solid group. Out of those four, which is your favorite? And do you think that we missed any brewery that should have been a number one seed?
Well, I mean, a few of them in the twos and the threes that I'm looking at right now, I could see easily as a number one.
Yep.
At least one of these is just not ringing the bell with me. So, like I said, I haven't been to all 74. And to go back to that, I can think of at least one or two of our coworkers that are going to take your statement that there's no way you can go to all 74 is a personal challenge. So, you know, we got to be careful there.
I know.
The one that just rings out, and it's going to be, I think it's got to be the statewide favorite just because of their distribution, and that's where how we rate places really comes in, is key, is Big Sky Brewing.
Yes.
I mean, they're all over the country.
Yes. They're all over the country, and they have just brands that people know and like.
Exactly. And, you know, and there's also a number three seed we've got that has one amazing beer, and you could probably figure it out, but that's one I like to see, you know, possibly pull off some upsets later in the bracket. But it's just tough. I don't know, beyond Big Sky, you know, they're solid number ones. I don't know a whole lot about Great Northern. I'm sure I've had them at festivals, but I've never been there.
Yeah.
I grew up in southeastern, south central Montana, so I did not make it up to the northwestern part of the state that often. It's going to be tough when it comes to some of these places I haven't been to.
Yeah, and shoot, I forgot to mention that, so we only have 60 breweries listed. That's because for one spot in the Sweet 16, we are having a write-in contest. So
exactly.
When you fill
nice
out
little wrinkle.
Yeah, when you fill out your bracket, if you don't see a brewery you like on there for that last spot, you can write in whoever you want, which I'm excited to see who wins. Let's go through each region and point out kind of the interesting matchups, which there are a few. In the Growler region, I am looking specifically at the first matchup up top, where Great Northern, Madison River in Belgrade, and Angry Hanks in Billings, I think are all super well-known breweries, good beer.
Yes.
And I've never been to this one, Livingston, Katabatic, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Who do you like? Who do you like out of that bunch?
I like them all. I mean, I've had the one in Livingston once. It was tasty, mm-hmm. but it doesn't resonate with me too much, unfortunately for them. Angry Hanks is my old standby. I grew up in Billings. I've had so much Angry Hanks beer. It's delicious. They've got a newer location. They used to have two locations within walking distance that would always be full.
That's right. They were in that old gas station.
Yeah, an old gas station mechanic shop. You could open up the doors. It was a cool spot. It was very small, so they upgraded. And that spot, if you don't get there right at 4, which is when they open every day, you might not find a seat. So it's going to be a popular one at Billings. Look for them to potentially upset Great Northern. And speaking of Great Northern, they face off against one of my favorites in possibly highly underrated Madison River.
Yes.
Salmon Fly Honey Rye. If you've had that, you might be voting for the 16 over the 1.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think that Madison River, they have, you know, they're a 16 seed because they don't have a big online presence, but that does not mean they don't have a very solid fan base in Belgrade. It is a great location with very good beer. The other two that out of the Growler region that I think can potentially win this region is Red Lodge Ales out of Red Lodge, solid brewery. They're number 3 seed, and I think the number 15 seed, Harvest Moon Brewing out of Belt,
is a heavyweight.
They have my favorite beer in the state, in the Belgian White. They have Charlie Russell Red, which is solid. And not only is it good beer, it's good branding. The guys that run it, I've been out to their tasting room a handful of times. It's just like, it's a super fun atmosphere. The reason they're so low is because they don't have a big online presence, but I think they have a big fan base statewide. And I can see them winning this. And what we learned, we've done these brackets in the past with best pizza in the state, and what we learned is that the seating really doesn't matter that much. There's no like home field advantage for any of these guys by getting a higher seed. It's just kind of how they go. So I could see Harvest Moon winning the whole tournament as a 15 seed.
A lot of times a region, and we learned this with the pizza bracket, as you said, can really get behind a location. The High Line really got behind some of the pizza places and
yeah.
just dominated that bracket. So that it'll be interesting to see how that plays out here in the brewery bracket.
Yeah, where brewers are a lot more active on social media. They have a lot more, I'd say, a lot more loyal fans than a pizza place. So I'm excited to see how it goes. Yeah, and
Montanans like to drink, I think, is something that might play into this.
The one thing Montanans like more than pizza, I think, is beer. So... And you can't overlook also Tamarack Brewing in Lakeside. That's a great atmosphere up there if you haven't been able to visit. I think there's a Tamarack in Missoula as well. The one that we have on here is their Lakeside location. In the Stein region, number one seed, Lewis and Clark Brewing out of Helena. Who out of this group do you like to win the region?
Okay, real quick, I totally, as the Billings guy here, I totally overlooked something on the Growler region. Yellowstone Valley, otherwise known as the Garage, when we're talking about ambiance and having a good time, they are a Billings stalwart. They have concerts, they have music. That might allow them to pull off some upsets. So mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on that real quick so I didn't let the Billings fans down. So yeah, the Stein region, looking at that, man, it's some interesting matchups here. Of course, Lewis and Clark, the number one seed, should work things out here. But, you know, you got places like Kalispell Brewing in the middle of the bracket. 406 in Bozeman, which for a while, when I was going to Bobcat games, I'd always stop there. It was a very cool location, and they even have great food. So, Phillipsburg, you know, I've heard from people I trust. I've got, you know, friends, family that they know their beer. They say that Phillipsburg might be one of the best in the state.
Huh, it's interesting. You know, I think the one that stands out for me, I'm a Great Falls guy, so slightly biased, but Mighty Mo Brewing is good beer, but it is what really sells me on them is their location. They have helped bring downtown Great Falls back to life. There's a handful of new restaurants and bars and them who've opened up nice locations over the past, you know, 5-6 years. Mighty Mo is right downtown. It's two stories. It's a great place to go watch a game. It's a great place to hang out. And they have very, very good pizza. And so kind of these intangibles, when you add them all up, you don't even need good beer to be successful if you have those other things, but Mighty Mo does have very good beer. Their Damn Fog is one of my favorites in the state. And if you're drinking the beers at their location, they have a lot of different juices that you can add. As you know, Montana Parlay, I'm a big beer mosa guy. I like a little orange juice in my beer. It gets me going. And they let you do that. They have it there. They have, I'm not sure if it's Clamato, but they have tomato juice that you can get in. And it's God, this summer they had, it was like lemonade mixed with something else, and I think I had 200 of them over the course of the summer. So I like them. It's going to be interesting with a lot of these smaller towns, as you noted. I think that being no one's been to all of these breweries, their default is to root for the underdog. So if you get to kind of this middle cluster of Kalispell Brewing, Galley's Brewing in Harlowtown, Phillipsburg Brewing and Ruby Valley out of Sheridan. If you've never been to those, if you grew up, you know, in Great Falls, so not super near any of these things, maybe you just vote for Harlowtown or Sheridan's brewery because you like the idea of a small town going far. And I think that can work against some of these bigger breweries. They're going to have to get their fans out because I think the vibe in the state is to vote small town over big town. Do you agree?
I think you're right, and I love Neptune's, if you ever been to Livingston, which is one of my favorite cities in Montana. Mm-hmm. Neptune's is a great brewery. The other thing, there's no Missoula breweries on the bottom end of this bracket where Mighty Mo's sitting. Do Missoula fans go with something that sounds like the Mo Club? It's just a thought.
Yeah, no, that could be. That's, they don't know what the Mo is in this instance, so maybe they think that it's talking about Missoula or talking about Monty or who knows. Okay, in the Pint region, number one seed Montana Brewing Company out of Billings is the favorite, but who do you like here to potentially pull off an upset or just win this region outright?
You know, I I've had Lone Peak, people who ski, that could resonate.
Yep.
You know, you got newcomers like, or newer comers, I actually don't know since it's been so long since I was going to school there, but Matt Brewing in Bozeman.
That's got a great reputation, Matt Brewing.
Yeah, Black Eagle definitely stands out, and they face Matt Brewing in the first round. So, man, this, looking at it, I have no idea in this bracket. I mean, Montana Brewing has won a lot of awards. They're a restaurant that a lot of people go to, but maybe people don't think of it as a brewery anymore.
So yeah, it's a great
just
point.
Gonna, I don't know in this region. I have no idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of, every region we try to sprinkle in, you know, the smaller towns. I feel like this one is especially filled with smaller towns with Weibo and Libby and Thompson Falls. And you wonder how that's going to play into it. You know, if you look at the bottom pod with Beaver Creek out of Weibo, Cabinet Mounting, Libby, Blackfoot River as the number two seed in Helena, and then Limberlost out of Thompson Falls, you know, Blackfoot River's got a good reputation. It's a really popular spot in Helena. But if one of these smaller towns really rallies behind their brewery, you know, you could see Weibo pulling it off. Or just people that like the name Weibo. They may just be voting for them.
You never know. And then don't count out Uber Brew in Billings. I mean, as a Billings drinker, Uber Brew, you know, we've talked about this on the Mint Slack, but it's always hard when you've got 7, 8, 9 breweries in a city. How do you decide which ones make the cut? And we'll talk more about this in the write-in. But, you know, Uber Brew is a great place. I don't think of them as my favorite, but they have a big following online. So who knows? They could come out. They could even knock off Montana Brewing Company if it comes to that.
Yeah. No, it's and they're in the same bracket with Matt Brewing and Black Eagle Brewery.
Exactly.
The thing with Black Eagle is, you know, they benefited from the fact that they're technically located in Black Eagle, which, in my opinion, is the most underrated town in the state. The Black Eagle Brewery is, it's great. It's got a good location. We get there. It's next to the pit stop in Great Falls, which is, or in Black Eagle. It's kind of up on the hills when you're driving out. If you're like, as though you're driving to Haver from Great Falls. And so it's got great views of the river, of the whole city of Great Falls. And it has very, very good food next door. The pit stop is, it's known as like the best fried chicken in town, which it's kind of, it is good fried chicken, but it's kind of hard to mess up fried chicken. But it has a great menu. It's a great place to watch a game. And they have all the Black Eagle Brewery's beers on tap. And then next to that is their small little tap room. The guys that work there are awesome. The beer is super good. And if you do a flight of beers, they have like extra big glasses, flight glasses. So it's a little bonus for drinking there. I out of all kind of the lower seeds, and again, this is probably my Great Falls bias, but I think that Harvest Moon, which we talked about earlier, is the 15 seed, and Black Eagle Brewery is the 13, could really do some damage. I would not be surprised to see either of them in the Final Four.
Neither would I. Going back to Harvest Moon especially, that they've got a couple beers that are delicious, and probably most avid beer drinkers in Montana have tasted a Harvest Moon beer at a festival.
Yes. Yeah, and you can buy a lot of their beers like at the grocery store too. Like they are,
and that's going to change things. That's going to be the real kind of you know, I don't know what to say, but it's going to be what makes this bracket the most interesting is the beers that are available all across the state. And for our fans on Facebook and the website that live outside of the state of Montana, what beers they can continue to drink wherever they live.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Because, I mean, it allows you to build up a statewide fan base where, you know, something like just looking at the bracket, you know, Cabinet Mountain Brewing and Libby, I don't think you can get their stuff outside of Libby. And so, you know, that can really hurt you. You don't have those fans across the state.
And this could be a whole nother podcast, but a lot of it has to do with the wacky brewery beer and liquor laws in the state of Montana, with distributing, with how much you can sell. You know, I don't even really understand it. Like I said, whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
But it's gonna hurt some of these smaller ones that don't have the same licensing as Big Sky Brewery.
Yeah, Yeah, no, it's a big issue. It's so just frustrating where everybody in the state agrees that, well, I would think that these breweries are good for the community. They're, you know, creating lots of jobs. They're revitalizing downtowns. They're taking over buildings elsewhere that have been, you know, not utilized and bringing them back to life. But yet we have on all of these insane restrictions on how much they can brew and where they can distribute. And it's very annoying. And we, if anyone out there is listening, knows these laws and has some ideas, hit us up and we can have you on the podcast to talk about it. Because I just don't get it. But moving on to the mug region, there is a couple heavyweights here.
Oh boy.
So we have Kettle House Brewing as the 3 seed, Big Sky Brewing as the number 1 seed. These guys could meet up in the Sweet 16. And, you know, I think that Kettle House has a strong case for potentially being a number 1 seed. I think you were hinting at earlier, they're known for one beer, Cold Smoke, and
exactly,
it's great beer.
It's unique. It's delicious. You can drink a lot of it.
Would you say it's the most popular beer in the state? The most popular Montana beer?
For me personally, and my group of friends, I'd say yes.
Yeah, I think so. It may not be the most well known beer. I think that's probably Moostrul, just because of their wide distribution. But I think Cold Smoke is like the fan's choice.
Couldn't distribute to Billings, Montana. Like, well, there was one location, I forget, it was like a B-Dubs or something. Like, they could pick it up in Bozeman and bring like one keg a month and sell it in Billings. It was some crazy thing. But otherwise, you will not find it on the shelves in Billings.
Yeah, well, I talked to one of the owners about this once, because it was the same thing in Great Falls for a while. It's really hard to find it. And what they don't want to do is enter a market and not be able to consistently provide beer to there, because they're capped at how much they can make in a year. And so, you know, you don't want to enter the Great Falls market and come October, you've hit your cap and you just have, you know, you're not in the stores, you're not in the restaurants anymore. And it's a big frustration of theirs. I think they've, you know, Kettle House, I think, has a pretty unique business model, and they're getting beers around the state better than they used to work their way around those laws. But it's, you know, I wish that you could get it anywhere at all times. And I think that's what the people want. I think that Kettle House is going to win this region. I'm going to go out and say that because of that beer, the strength of that one beer. Interestingly, Jeremiah Johnson Brewing, people are going to see this on the bracket, maybe not know that the Front Brewing Company in Great Falls recently was purchased by a guy named Jeremiah Johnson. He rebranded it Jeremiah Johnson Brewing.
His name is Jeremiah Johnson?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeremiah Johnson Brewing, named after owner Jeremiah Johnson.
Not the guy who lived outside the Crazy Mountains for a while?
No. Well, maybe he named it after him, but it does not take away from the fact that the owner's name is Jeremiah Johnson. So you'll notice that there's only 12 teams in this bracket. That's because the last Sweet 16 spot is reserved for the fan vote, the write-in contest. You get to write in the brewery that we missed that you think should have been on this list. Who are you going to write in, Montana?
Well, it's a great question. And what I'm going to do, just because for the sake of focus, is kind of go with Billings breweries, or at least talk about them.
Okay.
Because, as I mentioned earlier, it's tough when you've got 6, 7, 8, 9 breweries in one city. How do you list them all? How do you seed them all? So this little fan vote write-in wrinkle that we came up with is going to be pretty interesting. A few that are left out in Billings. One of my favorites as far as beer quality and their location goes and how long they've been in Billings is Carter's. When they first came out, I wasn't a huge fan. I had Hank's in the garage that I would frequent instead, but they turned things around after being open for a year or two, and they have a very, very loyal following. Not a huge online presence, pretty small actually, but people love Carter's. I will definitely be writing in Carter's. I've been hearing also great things about Thirsty Street, a little brewery that opened up right in front of Angry Hank's
in
downtown Billings. In fact, that my one of my cousins claims that it is his favorite place in Billings already. So who knows? We'll see what happens there. And of course, this is going to be one we're going to get some flack for leaving them out, but we had to make some big decisions. You know, the buck stops here, so to speak.
Yes.
Canyon Creek in Billings, only brewery on the west end of Billings. They've got a huge following, but some people say their beer, you know, not the best.
Not the best.
Everything is a, you know, kind of a matter of opinion, and they do have a huge following, a decent online presence, and being the only brewery in West End Billings is going to get them some votes.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm going to be riding in Bar 3 Barbecue out in Belgrade.
Oh, I love them.
It is, whenever I'm in Bozeman or flying in and out of Bozeman, I always eat there. It's a great restaurant. I think, you know, Bozeman's filled with really good food. Bar 3 Barbecue is one of my favorite places just because not only is the food high quality and tasty, but it's just, I feel like you can't get this type of food elsewhere in the state. It's a very unique menu. It's not your traditional barbecue place. They have, you know, really good breakfast, and I don't know. I love it. Their beer is fine, but they're getting my vote, my ride-in vote, based on their atmosphere as a restaurant and place to drink. And you know, if you have a great location, provide somebody with a really good time, a beer is a secondary consideration in terms of if a brewery is you know, worthy of a ride-in vote or worthy of your vote overall in this bracket.
Bar 3 is definitely a victim of so many breweries being in Bozeman and Belgrade. We had to make some cuts, but I could see them making some upsets. I'm going to throw one in there that people haven't possibly heard of, but I'm hearing word from people I trust in the beer drinking community that Bonsai in Whitefish has some amazing beer.
Oh, interesting. So, I've not had them.
Neither have I. I'm just going by word of mouth here.
Yeah.
It's just could be interesting to see what comes out in this write-in contest.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, there's a couple from Butte that I think people are going to be, you know, Butte only got one brewery on the bracket. I think that there's probably going to be some hurt feelings, and the town may rally around a couple of theirs. Bozeman has 1, 2, 3, 4 breweries that are not on the bracket. Outlaw, White Dog, Bunkhouse, and Mountains Walking. I don't know if Mountains Walking is open yet, but you know, they're going to, you know, in a big city like Bozeman, they have more fans just because they have more people drinking their beer. And so, you know, if a Bozeman, here's what I'll say, if a Bozeman or Missoula or Billings wins the write-in contest, I think they're going to give Big Sky Brewing and Kettle House a run for their money in the Sweet 16.
Absolutely. Never underestimate, you know, that underdog, no one believed in us story.
Exactly.
In sports, and if a smart, I'll put this out there for you guys, if a smart social media manager for one of these breweries really, you know, uses that nobody believed in us and really drums it up online.
Yeah.
They could ride the write-in all the way to the Final Four.
Yeah. No, absolutely. All right. I think that's it for the beer. I want to give a shout out to our boy Scotty Mint, who designed the logo.
Heck of a job.
It is awesome. I'm staring at my screen right now. He's probably going to be mad at me because he is a terrific designer. He does great work for everything. You see Brandon on the Mint, that looks good. That is something that Scotty Mint put together. I just noticed on the bracket, he sent me this great logo. I put together the bracket and I'm looking at it and it's not perfectly centered. And Scotty can be a bit of a perfectionist, so he's probably looking at this bracket and wanting to kill me because I took his beautiful logo, put over a bracket, and it's a little off center. So Scotty, thanks so much for the logo, and sorry that I'm probably frustrating you. Let's take a quick break, Montana, and I want to talk about the Big Sky champion Montana Grizzlies and what they're going to do in the NCAA tournament.
Sounds good. I'll go grab a beer.
All right, we're back, and Montana Parlay, I want to talk to you about the Big Sky Conference champion, Montana Grizzlies. They knocked off Eastern Washington last night in the Big Sky Championship game. We unfortunately don't know who they're playing yet. We're recording this on Sunday before the selection show. By the time you're listening to this, the Grizz will have been matched up for their first round. Montana Parlay, as a Cat fan, are you excited about the Grizzlies winning the Big Sky Conference Championship?
I actually am. You know, I not like some of the guys on the team, Bobcat fans, who are Bobcats or anyone against the Grizz when it comes to something like this, especially basketball, where I have not really been paying attention to any college basketball at all this year. But I do enjoy the tournament, March Madness. It's awesome. So having someone from Montana to root for is going to be cool. And I got to tune in and watch the last two games, both the semifinal, which they had no business winning against Northern Colorado. That was an amazing finish, and then overtime win by the Grizz. And also that just total second half domination in the championship, where they were down 11 at the half and win by, was it 14 or 15 points? Just totally wiped the floor with their arch rival, University of Eastern Washington, in that second half.
Yep. Yeah, we Grizz fans are pretty pumped. You know, it's a weird thing to be a fan of a Big Sky team and follow them throughout the year. You know, you kind of peak with the Big Sky Championship, because almost every time they make the tournament, they get stomped, right? Like, they're usually a 16 seed. They usually lose by 50 points. But this year's a little different with the Grizz. There's some national attention behind them. They are projected to be a 14 seed in a lot of brackets, and you see 14 seeds winning often. Well, I don't know about often, but you see teams in that range.
Say about one a year.
Yeah. You know, kind of in that 12 to 14 range, someone is going to win. Why can't it be the Grizzlies? And it's hard to believe, it's been 12 years since the Grizz won a tournament game. That was the first one in my lifetime. They won one back in the 70s too, I believe. But back in 06, they beat Nevada in the first round, and then lost to, and I think they lost to Boston College in a pretty close game in round two. So who, I texted you a list of potential matchups for the Grizz. Why don't you go through those one at a time, and we can kind of discuss, or list off their potential matchups and locations, and let's discuss, you know, what the best and worst outcome would be.
Well, like I said, I haven't been following college basketball a whole lot this year, so I'm just going off this text and what the so-called experts think is going to happen before Selection Sunday here today. But it looks like, let's see, 14 seed is pretty much the consensus. A few SB Nation, Sports Illustrated say 13 seed. That would put them against a 4 seed, right? 14 would be against a 3.
That's right.
Would be, okay.
13 would be against a 4.
There, a lot of them are having them say against Arizona. Michigan State is Michigan State. Three of the so-called experts say that will be the Grizz opponent, which you got to go against Izzo. And you know, Michigan State kind of choked in the Big Ten, but they're still probably odds-wise one of the favorites to win the whole thing. You don't like to see that, but they have the last few years have faltered early. And you never know how serious a team like Michigan State, and depending where the matchup is at, they say Wichita, Dallas, is that the Grizz could win that game. They can shoot the three, and anything can happen when you get hot behind the three-point line.
Yeah, no, it's I think I saw one mention there that they could play Gonzaga.
Yeah, that would be an awesome game. I don't know if they have a chance.
Yeah, it was like Gonzaga, and the game would be in Boise. If that's the case, I mean, that's best case scenario, right? It's Montana's home, you know, Montana's in the tournament, so everyone's rooting for them. Gonzaga's kind of Montana's favorite big program because it's close. A lot of Montanans go there for school. So it's drivable from both schools, so it just seems like that would be a killer matchup.
Atmosphere.
It would be quite the atmosphere. A lot of times these games are played so far away from schools that the fans don't go down there. I remember once seeing Montana play Kentucky in the first round in Salt Lake City. And, you know, there's probably like 15 Grizz fans there. It's just a weird atmosphere. But if you can get in Boise and the roads are good, you're going to see a lot of people from Spokane, a lot of people from Montana making that drive. It's kind of a awful drive. Have you done that before, the Missoula or Bozeman to Boise?
I've done both. I played club baseball in college, and we made that trip to the, you know, the Utah Big Sky schools like Utah State. And then a few in Idaho. And yeah, it was it's a testy drive even in the fall. So, you know, you're going through mountain passes and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful drive, but you never know. It could get a blizzard.
Yeah, so it's hopefully it works out. But let's go with, you know, a couple things. I want to talk about how to improve the Big Sky tournament because it's a disaster. But just going through the Grizz non-conference schedule this year, this is a pretty good resume. They beat Pitt the second game of the year. Now, Pitt is not the team they used to be, but still, you know, the former big program. They played Penn State, and that game was it was in Pennsylvania. I don't know if they actually played it at Pitt, but it was in Pennsylvania. They then went and played Penn State. They lost by 13, but it was a close game. I think at one point they were down 4 with a few minutes to go, and then Penn State just turned it on. Had wins over Oral Roberts, who's a regular team that makes the tournament. They lost to Stanford and UC Santa Barbara, especially Stanford's obviously a very good school. They had UCLA on the schedule. The game got canceled. So if you told me going into the year, Grizz have UCLA playing at UCLA and they don't lose, I'd take that as a huge win. And then they lost at Washington in December by 3. So on the road at Washington, they played them super tough. So all this to say, the Grizz are, they've played big-time programs this year, early in the year. They competed against these big-time programs, and it's just exciting to see with the right matchup if they can potentially pull off the upset. I'm rooting for the Gonzaga matchup. I just think that'd be awesome if they had to play Gonzaga nearby. It's going to be exciting to see what happens. The non-conference schedule the Grizz had, I think, was a super smart move on their part, scheduling these really tough programs, because it's got them ready for what they need, you know, for the NCAA tournament. You don't really cut your teeth NCAA tournament wise by playing the Southern Utahs and Portland States. Like, you need to get that top tier competition so you know what you're going against and can prepare for it. One thing before we get to the how to fix the Big Sky tournament, I'm sure you saw the Northern Colorado dunk, the Jordan Davis dunk on UM. It is being described as the dunk of the year. It was on SportsCenter. House of Highlights on Instagram put it up, and all these NBA players, including LeBron, liked it. I'm assuming you saw the video, right?
I've seen it a few times. So that's one thing as a Cat fan. You know, you can feel okay, but I know we suck. You know, we gave up an 11-point lead in the second half in the very first round of the Big Sky tournament. But that's one thing Cat basketball fans can look at and chuckle. It's our only, like, kind of positive note if you're an anti-Grizz fan, is that clip. You give the guy some credit. He stood in there. It's a lot easier to just duck out of the way when he's coming with a full head of steam.
Yeah.
That guy's got some ups. He threw it down like a pro. That was an amazing dunk.
Yeah, I feel like the Bobcats are going to run a clip of that dunk on their Jumbotron. At the football games, football, basketball,
so
swimming competitions, academic bowls. Like, if I were a Bobcat fan, I would have that GIF ready to use in every argument with the Grizz, because that was pretty, pretty ugly.
They'll probably throw in the Bobcat mascot, you know,
put his face on it.
Superimpose that on him, you know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's just, I'm so glad the Grizz won the Big Sky, but I'm not thrilled that you guys now have that over our head for the rest of eternity. The Big Sky tournament, so in 2016, they opened up the Big Sky tournament to now every team in the conference makes it. 12 teams make it. They played in Reno, Nevada. It's moving to Boise next year, but it's in Reno, Nevada. Watching these games on TV, it looked like nobody attended. It's just, to me, it is the worst setup possible. As a Grizz fan, it's so frustrating this year because they had this great regular season, and then they almost lost that Northern Colorado game and just wouldn't be in the tournament. And so you can be the number one seed, but yet to make the tournament, you still have to win three consecutive games in three nights, which is not an easy thing to do. I don't know what the best setup is, but I think it should be improved. What is the first step you would take to improve this tournament?
First of all, do we actually know, is there any evidence, any witnesses to the tournament taking place in Reno this year?
I don't know. They could have played it anywhere. I don't know one person that went.
Yeah, I think there were some pictures at tip-off where you saw, like, a couple mothers in the stands, and there's actually more people in the cheerleading squad than in the stands.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that needs to be fixed is, and we, some of us saw this coming. You know, a lot of us, we're not as big of basketball Big Sky fans as, say, football. You know, that's probably true with most Montanans. But for us that follow the sports in general, could see this coming when they had that selection process for the neutral site. And, you know, Billings was in the mix. That would have been interesting. You know, there's a couple other cities we've talked about that would make a whole heck of a lot of more sense. I don't know if they put in a bid at all, if they're even interested. But why not? We're talking big cities with major hubs for airlines in the center of the Big Sky. Why not Denver or Salt Lake, or have some kind of rotating, you know, system set up between those two cities if we want to make it a big city with things to do? Not that Reno is that, unless you like to gamble and, you know, go to a brothel or something.
Yeah. It's just like, so I get, you know, look, we make it a destination. Other conferences are doing this, so let's make this a big thing. But first off, no one wants to go to Reno. No offense, Reno, but like, that is not a top tier city that I would want to travel to. And and we have cities within the conference that are destinations. Like, wouldn't, if you're, you know, first off, Portland State, Portland's a great city. Do it in Portland.
Great city.
Do it in Bozeman. Bozeman's a great city. People go there.
Big airport now.
Big airport, skiing nearby, like, you want to be a destination, like, that's a great destination. And, you know, we don't need a massive pro stadium or a huge facility to play these games at, because, as we saw, not a lot of people go. You could do it in the field house in Missoula or in Bozeman, and it'd be fine. It'd be a great atmosphere.
That's the thing. Sorry to cut you there, but just, we can, you know, kind of shit on Reno a bit, but if it was in Denver and Salt Lake, chances are there's not going to be a whole lot of fans there anyway.
Yeah.
But it gives that opportunity for, let's say, the Cats and Grizz face off, and it's not in Bozeman, Missoula, or Billings. If it's in Denver or Salt Lake, there's a much better chance that Montanans get out and see that game than in Reno, Nevada.
Yeah, first off, there's not even a Big Sky school in Nevada. So,
no.
And it's just not a destination. It'd be like, if you're doing a destination tournament, it should be in a desirable location. It's like if you did a destination wedding, right? You wouldn't do it in Detroit. Detroit's a fine town, but that's not like a place that a lot of people would want to travel to as a vacation.
What about Havre, destination wedding capital of the world?
Yeah, God, I should have thought of that. I'd love to get married in Havre. So it's, I think that how to fix this is, I don't know if you can fix the number of teams. I think that there's probably some incentive to having more games, getting everyone in the tournament. It is exciting if you are, you know, having a crummy year like the Cats. Like, you get in and there's a chance that you could win it. Or play spoiler for, you know, because they would have matched up in the second round if the Cats won their first game, I believe. And so to be able to play spoiler to the Grizz, like, that would have been fun. But it's
a
just
a great matchup.
Yeah, I think we have to do a better job of incentivizing teams to win the regular season. And so right now they have a bye. If there's a way you could do a double bye, great. And pick a right location. I think Boise is a good idea. I'd rather go to Boise than Reno. But to your point, it's not easy to get to. It is Boise's hosting the tournament 2019 through 2021. It's not easy to get to. Like it's a long drive from anywhere in Montana. It's not a huge airport. You're going to have to, it's going to be two flights for most of these schools, right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it seems like a no-brainer. There's probably, it's probably a money thing, and that makes sense. But from a fan perspective, I would never consider traveling to Reno for the Big Sky tournament. Now, if it's in Denver, you could talk me into it, because Denver's a great city.
Absolutely. And we're talking about buys. I actually came up with a bracket that includes all 12 teams, and I think is the solution to the Big Sky tournament.
Give us the 30-second rundown.
Okay, 30-second rundown. So there's actually essentially a triple bye for the top two seeds. They are automatically in the semifinal. The reason for this, Tycoon, is how many teams that didn't win the Big Sky tournament made the Big Dance, the March Madness tournament? You didn't win it.
Yeah, I think only like once that I can remember.
Yeah. So you could go undefeated in the Big Sky and get upset like the Grizz almost did.
Yeah.
And not make it out of, to the next round. It's crazy. To have 12 teams have to win three or four games in a row in a small conference when you dominate all year, that's rough. So my theory is the regular season needs to mean something. So the top two seeds get a bye to the semifinal. Seeds 3 and 4, they get a bye to the quarterfinal. So the top four teams are all ready to go at this neutral site, better neutral site. Denver, Salt Lake, Billings, Boise, if you have to, or even Bozeman or Missoula. Okay,
yeah.
Obviously, we are very Montana biased here with this list, but I would say Denver, Salt Lake are at the top of my list. You've got five then quality games with hopefully quality teams no matter what happens in the early rounds. Early rounds, the best or the highest seed, however you want to say it, hosts the game. So you have 5 versus 12, 8 versus 9, 6 versus 11, 7 versus 10. They move on, same thing. They host that next game, whoever the best seed is.
Yeah.
Winner of the next round, they go to the neutral site to play seeds 3 and 4. And you have, if you are a 12 or an 11 or a 10, you've got to win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row to make the tournament, whereas top two, you just have to win 2 games. That makes a whole heck of a lot more sense. You make the lower seeds, the worst teams, earn it, because the regular season has to mean something.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So right now, how many teams are going to buy right now? 4?
I think so. Yeah, 4. It's just one round bye.
Yeah, great work, Montana, for winning the regular season and only losing 2 games in conference. You get the exact same advantage as 3 other teams.
Like, exactly.
There's just, I don't know. There's got to be a better way to do it. I think that picking the right location is part of it. I think somehow giving the number one seed something more for winning the tournament is just critical. All right, one more thing before we go. CMR won the boys basketball AA championship last night. I, as you know, am a Great Falls High guy. A lot of the guys we have a lot of Great Falls High guys in the Montana men's sports world, but I'm a Grizz fan. I take a lot of heat for not really caring about the Bobcats. I don't root against the Bobcats. I try not to root against teams in general, but I hate CMR, and it will go, it's to my bones. I get sad when they win things, and they always win things, and they always beat Great Falls High. So the fact that they won the title last night, it just stinks. It stinks for everybody involved. CMR, God, I just hate them. To this day, when I look in the paper and it's like, Great Falls High or Butte beat CMR in swimming, like I give a little fist bump. To the day I die, will hate CMR.
I don't blame you. I feel the same thing about West High and Billings. And it is very weird, almost confusing, but I take great pleasure in the fact that they are no longer good at football.
Yeah, so congrats to the guys at CMR for bringing this to Great Falls, but just know you ruined my morning when I read that CMR won. So on that note, let's call it a day. Don't forget to vote in the Montana Mint Brewery Bracket. Visit www.montana-mint.com to vote. You can also vote on Twitter and Facebook. Sign up for our mailing list. We got our sports newsletter is going to be the one that's pumping out all the brewery news. We have a great politics newsletter that our editor, John Hansen, political editor John Hansen, has been dominating. We have some, you know, good stories in there, new unique content for the state, and we got some big things planned with that, with the primaries coming up and then two big congressional and Senate race in the state. So subscribe to that if you're interested in politics. And other than that, it's been good talking to you, Montana Parlay.
Been great. You know what? I'm going to one more plug for the brewery bracket. If you guys want to print it out, post it in your office, pass it around, bet on who wins, just like you do with the basketball, I say more power to you.
Yeah. Print it out, get your breweries fired up, and, may the best man win. All right. I'll talk to you soon. We'll probably do this again next week to recap who won the first round. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Let's listen to some Lainey Lou and the Bird Dogs on the way out.